Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. And if you have a legal question, the law office is open. Good morning. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. And if you have a legal question, the law office is open. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call that number, 877-943-9673. And your question can be just about any area of the law. It can be about wills, trusts, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, living wills. It can be probate administration, trust administration. It can be about family law, real estate law. It can be just about any area of the law you have a problem. If it's not a legal question, you just have a problem, give us a call. I had a few questions this week about, I don't think my brother, who's the personal representative of my estate, is handling the estate properly. Now, all I did is get this check in the mail, or he wants me to sign this, that I will accept this check, but have no other information. Well, that's not right. You need an inventory of the estate. You need an accounting. You need a list of assets. You need a starting value. You need the what's been paid, how they calculated your share. And most everybody who just accepts something like that, it should really be carefully reviewed by an attorney or a CPA or an accountant or somebody who can look at numbers and make sure they make sense. If you have a legal question about anything, though, anything you have a problem with, anything maybe you lost a little sleep on, something you're really concerned about, you give us a call. I'll be more than glad to try to help you. Let's go to our first caller, Mike in St. Petersburg.
Hey, morning, Mike. Mr. Pepin.
Yes, sir. How can we help you?
Yeah, I am looking at redoing my will and so forth, and one of the things that has come up in the discussion is the potential, since most of my assets are transferred by operation of law or beneficiary designation,
mm-hmm.
doing a ladybird deed as well, a revocable ladybird deed, and I guess the thing that concerns me is any potential for losing homestead exemption.
No, Lady Bird deed, you reserve the right to live there, so that's enough to give you a homestead exemption, so you don't lose that.
Okay. So the state looks, that's not a question for the state in terms if that's what you do.
No, sir, but here's my thought on Lady Bird deeds and paid on death accounts or naming beneficiary on everything. You know, you have choices in estate planning. That certainly is a choice, and some people do choose that choice. I don't really think most of the time that's the best choice. I think the best choice is putting the property into a trust.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why is with a living trust, your successor trustee can come in and take over and manage things for your benefit in a lifestyle to your custom while you're living. You're not waiting for a paid on death. You're not waiting for an in trust for upon death. You're not a ladybird deed. Nothing happens until death. With a trust and a successor trustee, they can manage everything for your benefit in a lifestyle to your custom while you're living. Avoid guardianship, and then also avoid probate.
Okay, so they can actually act on your benefit if you become incompetent and you're still living, you still need a
right.
place to live.
Yeah,
well.
And most people have this period of time before death.
Mm-hmm.
They have a stroke or an accident or something, you know, for they can't function like they should really and be responsible for their own assets for, you know, it could be a year or two or more.
Okay.
And well, they can be managed by a trustee for your benefit while you're living. So
would that put, if a person had everything, operation of law or beneficiary designation and had a ladybird deed and they did have some issue that they became incompetent, would
mm-hmm.
that present an issue for the person that was a personal representative under their will?
A personal representative can't touch anything until death.
Until death. unless they had durable power of attorney.
Durable power of attorney is a good tool, but I think a trust is much easier to work with because the trustee has instructions in the trust document as to care for you in a lifestyle to your custom as long as you live. And it's easier. My experience is a lot easier dealing with banks as a successor trustee than dealing with banks as you trying to use the power of attorney.
Yeah, and I guess I understand trusts have the ability to have a succession of people who can step up if a person doesn't want to serve.
Yeah, you have successor. You'll have at least a primary and a secondary. Some people also have a third choice in there. And the trust can be modified anytime, changed anytime. You can change trustees. You can change beneficiaries upon death. The other thing is with paid on death account, if it's paid on death to someone without a contingent beneficiary,
mm-hmm.
then it could possibly have to go through their estate through probate.
Okay.
And with trust, and particularly if you're naming minor children or the children of a brother or sister, if they're deceased, your trust takes care of all of that language and takes care of it in a much better way, I think.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you married?
Yes.
All right. So let me tell you, we have a fee schedule that we post on our website, and here's the fee schedule. If you were husband and wife, and you were doing two wills, they're $125 each. You were doing two durable power of attorney / healthcare surrogates, they're $125 each, and living wills are $60 each. So the six documents would be $620.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a chance of some probate.
Right.
If you did a trust, the fee is only $795 for all of those documents, plus the trust, plus the deed. And anything you put in the trust, there's no probate, and can be used for your benefit in your question for as long as you're living, but maybe incapacitated, not able to handle your affairs.
Okay. Do you serve as a trustee, a successor trustee, most people normally choose a person,
Well, most people normally choose, I would say, family members.
Family members.
But if you don't have family members you think are capable of doing the job, then most people would either choose a trust department, a commercial trust department, or an attorney or a CPA.
Okay. Great. Well, that's very helpful. I really appreciate those answers.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye now.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question, the phone lines are open at 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. That question makes me think of one of the experiences we had this week at our law office. What happened? I had a client for 17 years, got to know the client real well. They'd come in three or four times over the years. She got really sick, didn't know about it. She got really sick, went to a hospital. Somebody she knew, a friend of a family member overseas came in to see her, husband and wife came in to see her. She was very, very sick. And these two people proceeded to get her to change all of her documents with another attorney. So they gave, my client gave this, under very sick, adverse conditions, she gave this person a power of attorney. Well, the person went to a bank where she had the majority of her money and try to get the bank to change the beneficiary on this account, this paid-on-death account, which wasn't in a trust, which it should have been, that's a different story, to themselves. And the bank wouldn't do it. Thank goodness, because it would have been wrong. The person also had them try to do a ladybird deed, making themselves as beneficiary, which they did. Well, the lady gets a little better, contacts us, shows me all of these documents, and I said, this is what you want? She said, I don't even remember doing this. And I talked to her, and she's very in a very competent state. I don't know what she was like when she was not feeling well and in the hospital and things were much different, but she signed a ladybird deed when she had a trust. She signed a ladybird deed. She signed a new will, just ignoring the trust, and she signed a power of attorney, a new will, and a living will, all favoring the person that she hardly knew coming over that was a friend of her main beneficiary overseas. So needless to say, we changed all of those documents right away. We revoked the Lady Bird deed, which you can do, transferred it to her trust, which was already done, but we redid it just to make clear the Lady Bird deed was revoked, and started about transferring her accounts to the trust where they had tried to name beneficiaries on those just to make sure that went okay. All right, let's go to Paul and Valrico.
Hi, Joe. How can I protect myself? I have an idea for a website / application for phones, but I don't know how to write a website or an application. How can I protect my idea if I start looking for somebody to do this for me? And, of course, I'd have to pay them. But how do I protect myself from them just taking the idea?
Well, I can, if you want to contact me, I can give you the name of an attorney that can do copyrights, patent law, and protect your ideas for you and get something in writing so the person you're dealing with to try to help you do this can't use those on their own.
Okay, and your email or your phone number, whichever you want.
You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com.
All right, thank you for your time.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You can go to 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. If you have a legal question, we'd be more than glad to help you. Let's go to Mark in Winter Haven.
Hi, Mr. Pippin.
Hey, Mark.
Quick question. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Quick question about retainers. Oh, wonderful. Actually, I paid a retainer to an attorney in 2011, and I was wondering, do retainers generally depreciate over time? Or if services haven't been rendered against that amount that you paid for the retainer, should the full amount of the retainer still exist, if that makes sense?
Well, did you have a fee agreement contract?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Most likely you did. So
okay.
Whether the fee is not going to earn interest or anything, I don't think. It's usually in an attorney's escrow account. Or his, you can set up an account through the Florida Bar where actually the Florida Bar gets any interest on the money, and the attorney has ethical responsibilities to basically do what the fee agreement concerning the retainer is. And a lot of times they put in there the fee is not returnable, and you might have signed that. But, you know, a lot of times you can, even though the fee agreement says it's not returnable, sometimes you can ask for it back and sometimes the attorney will give it to you if actually no work was ever done. But it really does depend on the words in the fee agreement contract.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
I
appreciate that. I have
All
a conference call on Monday with my attorney, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Stephanie in Pinellas Park.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I am calling in regards to a homeowners association for a 55-plus community,
mm-hmm.
Mobile home park.
Mm-hmm.
And the property is not, the managing agent is not doing the appropriate measures to take care of the property and doing what, you know, the rules and regs say.
Mm-hmm.
And we are looking to fight them by putting our rent in escrow. What is the...
No, that's probably not going to work for you.
It won't work.
No, the rent is due, and uh-huh. you deciding to not give it to them because of some whatever reason you can create doesn't necessarily stop them from evicting you for non-payment of rent.
The entire property? Every homeowner?
Every homeowner wants to do. Why don't y'all figure out how to call an emergency meeting for the Homeowners Association and take care of this, or be represented by an attorney? You know, a bunch of you can get together and contribute a little money to an HOA attorney to represent you to force whatever you want done to be done or try to.
Yeah, we've already tried that. They've been trying that for several years as far as retaining an attorney for it.
Mm-hmm.
They want an enormous amount of money. And unfortunately, the people that live in this property don't have the kinds of funds that
mm-hmm.
they would need to have, you know, an attorney on hand. like that. So,
well, you can. I would keep shopping for an attorney because that's going to be your best result. I think if you all got together and decided to withhold your rent, I'm not sure what the landlord would do. But the landlord would probably have the right to evict, you know, anybody who hasn't paid their rent, even though it's an escrow.
Even though it is an escrow.
Well, yes, yes, that would be my thought.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
All right, thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Okay, we have a face. We're broadcasting live on Facebook today, and we do that quite often. And you can follow us on the law offices of Joseph Pippin, Ask an Attorney, or even my personal page. So if you're on Facebook Live and we have a listener, Diane, on Facebook, what's the difference between a revocable and a non-revocable trust is the question. Well, thanks, Diane. Love getting these questions on Facebook Live, and they have a way to post that on my computer screen here and tell me what's going on with that. So most of my clients do a revocable trust. They do trust. If you did an irrevocable trust, which you refer to as a non-revocable trust, you do an irrevocable trust, then you've lost control of the assets. Now, there are some special purposes to do an irrevocable trust. It used to be that you would try to do that to qualify for Medicaid. It used to do that you could create an irrevocable insurance trust where the death benefit would not be included in your estate for tax purposes. But since now we all have a $5.5 million exemption, not too many of those are done anymore. So most people, I would say 95% or higher of my clients do a revocable trust. That means you can amend, change, revoke, put whatever you want to in it, put whatever you want, take whatever you want to out of it, and you're in total control of your estate. It's just a fancy will that upon death avoids probate. And most of my clients do revocable trust. They don't do a revocable trust, the non-revocable trust as you refer, because they've lost control. They've given money away to a trust where they can derive some benefit, maybe income, but can't freely take the principal out of the trust as they choose. So again, most all of my clients do a revocable trust, when they can amend, change, take whatever they want, put whatever they want in, take whatever they want out, fully control it, change the beneficiaries, change the terms of the trust. Most of my clients do a revocable trust. But thank you so much for asking that question on Facebook Live. Hope that helps answer your question. All right. If you have a question for the show today, whether you're watching on Facebook Live or whether you're listening on the radio or maybe listening on your computer, you have a toll-free number to call the show, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Well, I took a two-hour trip yesterday to Citrus Springs, Florida, which is in Hernando County. And spoke at a church, a group of a church, and it wasn't a great, very big crowd there. But hey, I love going out. I love speaking in churches, and I love going out to communities wherever I'm invited to speak. I usually try very hard to go. So I had a two-hour trip each way to a church in Citrus Springs. I enjoyed it very much, even though it was a fairly small crowd there. But the point of my story is here is if you have a group that you would like to have a speaker come in. Could be a church group, could be a community group, could be in a homeowners association type of situation. It could be coffee talk at a mobile home park. It could be, I even spoke on a Weight Watchers, even though I wasn't really involved with the Weight Watching program. They have speakers come in, and they asked me to come in and talk about, they'd heard enough speakers about health and what you should eat, so they had taken care of yourself and taking proper care of your estate was the topic. But if you have a speaker, there's no charge for the coming in. It's pretty much like an Ask an Attorney radio program. I do talk for 20 minutes or so, or longer if requested, or shorter if requested, and then usually have a question and answer period just like the show. If you'd like to arrange that, all you have to do is to call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529. You can email me a request at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com. Or you can text me, that you would like to talk to me about coming to your group at 727-667-3967. Now, in a couple of weeks, October the 12th and October the 14th, that's a Thursday night at 6 o'clock and a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I'll be at the St. John's Town Center doing a seminar, and you're invited. It's open to the public. Would love for you to come. If you'd like more information about this, you can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529, or you can email me that you would like to come and to send you information. That would be joe@attypip.com, or you can text me at 727-667-3967. Okay, let's go to Larry in Jacksonville.
Yes.
Hey, Larry in Jacksonville, how are you?
Yes, oh, I'm great. Thank you for taking my call. That last storm we had, the neighbors next door, the tree fell across. The neighbor's tree is two-thirds of it is in my yard. The other third is in the other neighbor's yard. Who pays for the tree removal?
Well, you do from whatever part's in your yard, unfortunately.
Okay, I was just wondering.
You know, I wish that law would change. I think that's a horrible law. It's affected myself as well as you probably now. And it just doesn't seem fair.
Okay.
If you're a neighbor's, I have more stuff in my front yard waiting for FEMA to pick up, and I don't know when that's ever going to happen. And it's all basically stuff from my next-door neighbor's yard that flew into my yard, including a tree that went through a fence and was... caused me a little damage, not a great deal of damage, but, it's aggravating to have a neighbor be irresponsible about a 60-foot ficus tree that falls through. They had three of them snap in half, and the half, one of the halves wound up in my yard, and, I paid a guy to come take it all out of my yard and put it out for FEMA to pick up, and it's not fair. It's not fair for a neighbor to have an irresponsible tree that comes into your yard. Now, I know this was a hurricane, although where I live, it never got even a Cat 1 status. It was just under that. But
yeah,
it's just not fair. And I wish somebody would do something about a law. What I did is I put my neighbor on notice. I said, look, you have irresponsible trees. You still have one overhanging my property. I'm holding you accountable, putting you on notice that if this is a dangerous situation to property and lives, and you're therefore put on notice, and I'm going to go tell all of my neighbors about this and get them to also put you on notice because it's irresponsible. And then you don't even want to pay to clean it up. It's not fair.
Well, the real problem is she's from Cuba. She sort of speaks English, and her daughter sort of speaks English, so there's a language barrier with all that going on.
Yeah, they probably conveniently speak English when they want to.
That could very well be.
they could be legit, but I'm telling you, I have someone I deal with where it seems like it's very convenient not to know much English when you're trying to resolve an issue with them. But anyway, I think the law presently is that you're responsible to clean up your own mess, even though it's someone else's tree.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
And I wish I could. I'm trying to think of ways to change that. And I think putting a person on notice might help a little bit, but I think the case law pretty much indicates that you're responsible right now.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll put this in there, this disclaimer. I think the tree was fairly healthy, and the gusts we got around here, the whole root system, you know how the root system comes up? That. It's 15 feet, 20 feet up in the air, so it was probably, the tree was healthy maybe, but I don't know if it was leaning my way because it was really huge, but anyway.
Yeah, an active nature like that, they don't hold the tree owner usually responsible.
Yeah, so.
But a good neighbor. Now, I tell you, I have several tall pine trees. One of them got, not in this last storm, but in the past, one of them kind of fell into my neighbor's big oak tree. So what do? I just call my tree guy and have, 90% of the trees on my neighbor's yard, but it's my tree did a little bit of damage to his tree, not that much, and it's still standing. I could have said, hey, neighbor, hey, 90% of my trees on your property is your problem. I mean, that's like being a totally bad neighbor. I just called my tree guy and had the thing removed. Total expense of mine. It was my tree. But, you know, that's the way a neighbor, I think, should think. But some do and some don't. So I think you're stuck.
Well, all right. Well, I got me a chainsaw. I'm going to start.
What part of Jacksonville? You know, I have offices in Jacksonville. What part of Jacksonville do you live in?
I live near Emerson in 95.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know quite where Emerson is. We have an office in Ponte Vedra.
Oh, yeah.
So I come up not 95, turn into exit to, I don't know, 298 or something like that, and drive through Nocatee on the way to Ponte Vedra. So.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for your answer, sir.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'm enjoying your show.
Well, thank you. I've done it for 30. It's the longest running continual program in Florida. I've done it for over 33 years and counting, and love doing it. So thanks for listening.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
By the way, you're listening on multiple stations throughout Florida. You're listening to my home where I'm broadcasting from today. The home station is 570, 910, 860, 930, 1380. All of those come out of a Tampa Salem Communication Station. You're also listening on 90.3 FM out of Haines City, WLVF. You're also listening on Community Station in Sun City Center. And I have every week that people come in from the little community station that plays. Sun City Center is a senior community, and they play old-time music for the most part during the week, but they carry Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law on Saturday morning. In the Crystal River area, where I was in yesterday, Crystal Springs area, a person that invited me to the church said he drives to play golf every Saturday morning and heard the show and thought it would be nice for me to come up there if I could, which I was glad to do. So there's a community station up there in the Crystal River area, FM station. I think it's 103.3 that carries the program. In Jacksonville, 600 AM, The Answer carries the program. And glad to be on all of these stations around Florida. And if I can help you in any way, we have office locations in most all of these stations. Be more than glad to try to help you. If you'd like to call the show today, and by the way, we're on Facebook Live today. Facebook Live is also on WeBeamTV.com. And they have a variety of programs on that channel. And if you want to go there and check out, they've also a host of all of our shows we've done on Facebook Live, or you can find there at that website as well. And if you'd like to give us a call today, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And again, if you're in the Jacksonville area, Thursday, October the 12th at 6 p.m. and Saturday morning, October 14th at 10 a.m., I'm going to go do a radio show Saturday morning and then go to the town center right after the radio show in there in Jacksonville. That's the best mall I've ever been in the United States, is the Town Center in Jacksonville. But I'll be speaking at a seminar there at the Town Center, and if you would like to come, again, it's Thursday, October the 12th at 6 p.m., Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Contact us, and we'll give you the information about the seminar. A toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529. You can, that's extension 200, by the way. You can email me that you'd like to go at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. And you can text me at 727-667-3967. Hey, if you're watching on Facebook Live, when I give out information like that, it flashes underneath the picture on the screen. It's kind of cool. If you want to go to Facebook Live and you want some of this information, you can see it as I speak it. All right, again, the phone lines here are open at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. 9673. Phone lines are open, and we are here to help as many people as we possibly can. And all you have to do is to call. If you'd like the free estate planning poster sheet, by the way, at the church yesterday, I gave these out. And if you would like one, when I come speak, I hand these out. And when I'm on the radio, I usually offer for you to receive them if you would like. It's a full-size poster sheet with all of your options. There are three options in estate planning, the pluses and minuses, a little bit about how trusts work, a little bit about the cost of probate if you just have a will. And if you would like to receive it, you can get that one of three ways. Also, you can call the toll-free office number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com, or you can text at 727-667-3967. Let's go to Sam in Riverview. Hey, Sam.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Your show today.
Enjoy it. Thank you.
So I had a employer or a prospective employer reach out, and it's sort of in a startup mode. And they're asking for that I can join with equity. And I was wondering if I should consult with a lawyer. How do I make sure that equity doesn't lose value if other investors come in? What's your opinion? Your thought?
Well, you definitely need an attorney. So that is the incorporation where you're going to get shares of ownership of the company?
They said shares of ownership of the company.
What percentage of the shares are you going to wind up with?
They're units, so I don't know much, but
Yeah, you're going to need an attorney to look at the documents. You're going to need an accountant to look at the numbers and make sure they make sense. You're going to see what protections you have about, can you sell your shares if you want to anyone, or are they restricted back to the company, or is there an agreed upon price coming back to the company? And there are lots of things to really look at in this deal.
Okay. They said you have the option of buying again to any time.
What about selling? Do they buy back?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And has the company been around? Does it have a profit and loss sheet that she can show you?
No, they're in funding period, so they're building a product. They're going live in the market sometime in January. Again, this is just a prospective employer.
Yeah, but it's no success rate already that you can look at.
Right. Correct. That's correct.
So it's a gamble, you could say, basically.
Right.
Well,
it's part of the compensation, and that's all.
Are you going to have an employment contract?
Yes. I'll be full-time, annual salary, but they say, I guess to attract talent, they add this option of allowing or giving out shares or units, they call it, and then options to buy more.
Well,
and then they say the value goes up when we go live, And I'm just wondering, is an attorney necessary?
Let me ask you this. What's the term of your employment contract going to be?
It's permanent, salaried, normal, permanent salary job.
Permanent is kind of vague.
Okay, I mean, yeah, W-2, you know, it has benefits.
Are you guaranteed a job for 5 years?
No. I think it's still the right to work option for, yeah.
Oh, so they can terminate you at any time?
True. That's true, yes.
Well, I'd definitely have an attorney go through and make a little checklist of all the things you should be concerned about. That would be one.
Okay.
If you're not guaranteed a job, first of all, you'd have to have great faith in the company's going to do well.
Right.
You would have to think that you can gamble, I'm going to make up two numbers. You could have to think that you can gamble 10 or 20% of what your earnings will be, I would think. And you're willing to make that gamble, and you got a job, and if you had a job, I'd want at least a 5-year guarantee that you're going to be employed 5, and then I wouldn't put more than 10 or 20% of what your earnings would be into the company. There are a lot of little things, and every attorney would probably have different numbers in their head about talking about this, but you definitely want all this reviewed by an attorney.
Okay, yeah, they don't require you to buy. They award you with stock or units every year. and that's why I was asking.
Well, it depends on whether you want to gamble being on the grand, on the first floor of a possible great success or a big flop. I mean, you know, I wouldn't.
Right, right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, hope that helped. Thanks. All right. Bye bye.
Gotcha.
Let's go to Michael in Tampa.
Yeah, good morning. I have a real estate agent in South Tampa who listed a commercial property that I have off of over by the Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. And during the listing period for a year, he tried to buy it twice. And
he tried to buy it himself?
Yeah, he signed a contract to buy it for $225,000. And then because of the permitting from the city didn't come through, and then his investor got cold feet the second time, he reneged on both contracts without giving me an earnest money deposit. And 2 years later, we did send him a letter. My lawyer sent him a letter threatening to sue for value of the property at that time, et cetera. And we left it because we were all kind of like friendly. And my lawyer had recommended him, and then he died suddenly.
The realtor died?
Yeah, the realtor died. And I'm thinking, well, you're stupid and greedy if you try to sue him for anything, you know, his estate or whatever. And that's the question there. I mean, am I being stupid and greedy or stupid or greedy to try to take this with somebody else? Because now my lawyer suddenly died.
Well, that was my question. Are you still represented by the same attorney?
Yeah, he died in June, and I didn't get notification until a couple of weeks ago.
Well, do you know if the estate has any money in it?
He was a famous football player, and he owns, you know, he owns property that I actually worked on, and you know, beach house and his property in Tampa and things like that.
Well, I think what you should do is to, I don't know if I can answer that type of question in this format, but what I would do is to go visit a litigation attorney and see if you can find an attorney to take it on a contingent basis. If the attorney takes a case on a contingent basis, then you know you have a good case. If nobody wants the case on a contingent basis, see, you have an iffy case.
I see. That's a good test then, okay.
I think I would try that first.
And all right.
And have, you know, the when you go in, hopefully for a free consult with an attorney to evaluate in a case, you want to tell them first of all, I think it's a big ethical problem for the real estate attorney, or for the real estate agent, but now he's deceased. They have to
Yeah, the ethical part of it's gone.
Yeah, I know, right.
Poor guy.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem proper to me. I mean, they really had to be full disclosure with your consent that you take an offer from your own agent to buy the property, and then it all goes bad. But you said along the way that the agent had an investor, so it wasn't really clear who the buyer was. If it was the investor through, and they had a partnership with the agent that he should have disclosed. There are a lot of missing pieces in my mind right now about your question, but you really need, that's the type of question you need to sit down with a couple of attorneys and see if they would take your case.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right, Michael, good luck.
Thank you.
Phone lines are open. Hey, we only have about a little more than 10 minutes left in the show. If you want to call us at 877-943-9673, that's 877-943-9673. You can, phone lines are open. Let's go to Timothy in Sarasota.
Hello.
Hey, Timothy.
Hi. I have a question in reference to dental work done or not done. And I had a situation where I had a tooth go bad, and we agreed to have it pulled out. I've gone to this dentist for like over 12 years. He's made a plate up that was perfect, you know, so forth and so on. Been relatively happy with the dentist. But anyway, had this tooth pulled, had complications with it. It didn't seem like he had taken normal precautions. I'm on heart medicine. He was supposed to have contacted my cardiologist, which he didn't do, so forth and so on. Gave me pain medicine that definitely doesn't mix with my heart medicine. It just goes on and on of things that probably should have been done and weren't.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to find guidelines for dentists. There don't seem to be any anywhere particularly that I can find. So I'm just wondering. So I ended up going to another dentist because mm-hmm. I was in pain for like 6 weeks.
Would the other dentist that you are now going to sign something in writing that the work of the previous dentist was not in proper order, outside the bounds of what he would have normally done himself?
Yeah, I haven't asked him. I purposely didn't tell him who the other dentist was.
You could ask him, you know, I'm not going to give you my other dentist's name right now, but do you think his work was in the scope of normal procedures?
Okay. One of the things I just found out a couple days ago is that I have like 3 cavities, and unbeknownst to me, and one of them is old, you know, and one of the things that this other dentist stopped taking regular x-rays, you know, once a year x-rays
mm-hmm.
to make, and like I questioned him about this. I said, hey, how come when I take, oh, you don't need to take care. We can tell you're coming in, you know, twice a year, you're getting your teeth cleaned, everything's fine.
Well, see if your present dentist would be able to
get this one tooth fixed.
Mm-hmm.
The new dentist only wants $3,200 for the one tooth.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so, if you have a case, it'd be a small claims court case you could do yourself, so you wouldn't have attorney fees. But I would see if your present dentist would be willing to sign something that, you know, the previous procedures and work that was done was improper.
Okay.
All right, okay. Timothy. But thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. All right. Let's go to Joyce in Haines City.
Yes, I have a question. My daughter passed away, and she left a lot of unpaid bills, mm-hmm. like her lot rent, and she had no will or anything. What can you do? And she also took credit cards out in somebody else's name.
Well, I'm sorry about your daughter, first of all. All right, so let me ask you a question. You don't have to do anything, first of all. So are there any assets worth pursuing on your part?
Not really. The only thing in the daughter's her daughter's name is the TV, and mm-hmm. she's going to pay that off and cancel her part of it because it was a family plan.
All right, but there are no assets. If someone were to open up an estate, the creditors would exceed the amount of assets.
She has a trailer, but she, like I said, behind in the lot rent and everything else, she's not been paying.
Okay. So the answer to the question is if the creditors exceed the assets, that would be yes?
Yes.
Okay. So there's no reason for you to pursue opening her estate. You don't have to do anything. You can just let things go and follow whatever course they're going to follow.
You're saying just walk away from it.
You could. That is an option. I don't see any value for you to stay involved, actually.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Phone lines are open. We do have time for at least one more or maybe two more calls. You can call at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you would like to... First of all, let me tell you about the seminar coming up in Jacksonville. In October the 12th, that's a Thursday, at 6 p.m. This is at the Town Center in Jacksonville. If you would like to come, it's open to the public. So Thursday, 6 p.m., October the 12th, or 10 o'clock Saturday morning, October the 14th. And if you'd like to attend either one of those seminars, and just call our toll-free office number, give us your name and Phone number 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can text, you can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me at 727-667-3967. If you'd like to receive our free estate planning poster sheet, I'd be glad to mail that to you. And you can request it one of three ways, the same numbers. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. You can text, you can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Or you can text at 727-667-3967. Let's go to Jerry in Polk City. Hey, Jerry.
Hello.
Sound like you're at the racetrack this morning.
I'm in my truck right now. I'm fixing to pull over. But I was calling about my sister. The place she lives at, her and my brother-in-law lived there over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
He died last week. And the only names on the deed to the land were her husband and his uncle. And she's afraid that the uncle is now going to come tell her she's got to leave.
Okay, so her name is not on the deed at all.
Excuse me?
Her name is not on the deed, but her husband's name was?
Yes.
All right. And do you know if their property, it's the key answer to this question depends on how the property's titled. So do you know if it was in her husband's name with writer survivorship or tenants in common?
It started out as her husband, his brother, and the uncle.
Okay, there's the magic words after the three names. The magic,
it's him.
The magic words either are writer survivorship or tenants in common. Or no words at all, really, along those lines, and that would mean tenants in common. So it really, the answer to the question depends on how the property is titled.
Yeah.
So I can't answer the question until you tell me that.
Her husband told me it was in those three names, and his brother died. Now it was him and his uncle. Now he's died. So
it depends, though. The real answer, it depends on how the property, what those words are. If there are no words, that means it's tenants in common. If there are words, they're going to be either writer survivorship or tenants in common. If it's writer survivorship, then she would have no ownership rights. If it's tenants in common, then her husband's estate, if he had a will that left everything to her, she would own the third.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the magic words on the deed.
Yeah. Well, they've lived there over 30 years. They've paid the taxes on it, all that. They bought the trailer that's on there, you know. And I'm just hoping, I'm trying to help her out to keep from getting kicked out.
Yeah.
Make sure she don't get kicked out.
Well, I'd be glad to meet, if she can bring me a copy of the deed, I'd be glad to look at it. And she does own the property under the mobile home, right?
No, she owns the mobile home.
Just the mobile home. Okay, well, that changes things.
Her and her husband bought it.
And has anybody asked her to leave the property?
Huh?
Has anybody asked her to leave yet?
Not yet, but we may be expecting it. He's kind of a hard case in that situation. Well,
was that her homestead?
That I don't know.
All right. Jerry, I'd be glad to talk to her. I'm in Davenport office actually Monday. If she wants to come in and talk to me, I'd be glad to talk to her.
I'll see what I can do about it.
All right, Jerry. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're on every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. And we thank you for listening. If you have questions yourself or have neighbors or friends that have questions, have them call the show. And if you can't wait that long, you can call the toll-free office number 1-800-226-3529. 3529. You have a great weekend. So long.